As we head into the midterm elections, the I word is being bandied about, that is, impeachment. While some Democrats have actively entertained the idea if they take control of the House this fall, the leadership is staying away from it. But some writers have been making the argument for it. There's a new book out entitled The Constitution Demands It, A Case for Impeachment of Donald Trump. We have on the phone one of the authors. He is Ron Fine, legal director for Free Speech for People. He's also a constitutional lawyer who served as assistant counsel in the Environmental Protection Agency. Some would argue that impeachment is really a political issue. It's not necessarily a legal one.
It's both. It combines issues of law and also of politics, and that's the reason that the Constitution gives it to Congress to decide, and it's why the argument that you sometimes hear nowadays that this all depends on the criminal investigative probe of Special Counsel Bob Mueller is misleading, because the grounds for impeachment are not just limited to prosecutable crimes, but they also include a range of other abuses of power, many of which are actually outside of the special counsel's investigation.
So let me turn to the issue of emoluments. And one would say that didn't voters know going in, and given the political dimension of impeachment, that perhaps Congress might not move ahead with that?
Well, Trump was advised from really almost immediately after the election that he would need to separate himself from his businesses by the time of the inauguration, but he chose to ignore that advice, and as a result, he has been violating the Constitution's provision that prohibits taking payments from foreign governments literally since the moment he took the oath of office. Now, taking payments from foreign governments, as he does, like Saudi Arabia or China or the United Arab Emirates, may be okay as a private citizen, but the founders of the Constitution specifically prohibited it to federal officials, including the president, as an important safeguard against corruption, and they specifically described it in the constitutional debates as a ground for impeachment.
Now, another issue that you raise is the idea of soliciting illegal foreign assistance during a political campaign. Obviously, there's a reference to Russia. Does it depend in terms of impeachment on what the president knew at the time?
There's certainly some unanswered questions that we are still learning more about. What we do know is that high-level members of the president's campaign were actively involved in soliciting this foreign assistance, which is, in fact, a federal crime, and that the president helped cover it up. And when you put these two things together, it represents a course of conduct that clearly includes the president, and it includes people that he supervised. The question of the extent to which a president is responsible for the conduct of his subordinates in impeachment is one that has been addressed before in the case of the Nixon hearings. And certainly the president is responsible for any actions by people who work for him that he ratified, even after the fact, even if he didn't know before it happened. And so whether or not he knew that the meeting at Trump Tower with the Russian operatives before the meeting took place, there's a lot of evidence indicating that he found out the results almost immediately after that meeting. And again, that's enough of a basis to start the hearings.
I want to turn to obstruction of justice. How does one judge obstruction of justice in this particular case, particularly since it seems so public?
I think a key point here with obstruction of justice is that there is a difference. There's certainly an overlap, but there's a difference between the federal crimes of obstruction of justice, which in some cases can turn on some fairly narrow technical definitions and elements, versus the broader impeachable offense of obstruction of justice, which isn't just that crime. And when you look at the entire course of conduct from Trump, starting from what we now know happened in a dinner with James Comey just a few days after he took office, and continuing all the way through 2017 and 2018, it's overwhelmingly clear that he's pursued a path that involves attempting at every step to frustrate or impede the investigation into him and the people who work for him.
Does this really amount to the fact that the president has charge of the people that he's talking to? I mean, is that really the key problem here?
There's certainly a difference between a private citizen asking a federal law enforcement agency director to go easy on somebody and the FBI director's boss, the president, asking him to do that. And the exact words that the president used to Comey actually matter less than a lot of people may think, because a lesson that we have learned from the criminal obstruction of justice statutes is that you don't have to come out right and say, stop the investigation immediately into Michael Flynn. That a request to go easy, to lay off, or he's a good person can be pretty much the same thing. And that's true even in federal criminal trials, and it certainly would be true in congressional impeachment hearings.
I want to turn, by the way, to the issue of pardons. And I'm just wondering whether or not the pardons that he's issued, and the ones you cite, that they may be unwise, but they may very well be constitutional.
So the president certainly has a broad pardon power, but that doesn't mean it's unlimited. And starting with the pardon of Joe Arpaio, which was Trump's very first pardon, Trump has gone further beyond what any president has done. And the reason the Arpaio pardon was so problematic is that it was the first pardon in our nation's entire history in which the president pardoned a government official who'd been convicted of criminal contempt of court for deliberately disobeying a court order to stop violating people's constitutional rights. And what that does is that undermines the entire system of justice and its ability to protect constitutional rights, because it says that the president will provide a get-out-of-jail-free card for anyone who he's sympathetic to. And James Madison said that was that type of abuse was an impeachable offense. A Supreme Court justice later said that was an impeachable offense. So where exactly the line is for Congress ultimately to decide. But we set forth in the book the arguments for why this pardon has gone further than any other.
Ronnie, you argue about the idea that the president is undermining the freedom of the press. He certainly had sharp things to talk about the press, enemy of the people, and so on. What moves from, say, simply an expression of dissatisfaction with the press as opposed to, say, an impeachable offense?
This is one of those things where any one tweet would not necessarily be an impeachable offense, but when you look at the entire course of conduct, he's gone beyond merely criticism. And certainly a president is entitled to disagree with reporters about a particular story or a course of coverage. No one questions that. But one of the things that strongman leaders in other countries like Turkey or Venezuela have discovered is that you can significantly undermine the freedom of the press without actually instituting direct censorship. And in Trump's case, it's not just the rhetoric calling the press the enemy of the people and constantly deriding it as fake news, but he's actually attempted to, or in some cases has taken, government actions to interfere with particular media, like trying to use the Postal Service to raise shipping rates on Amazon as an indirect way of punishing the Washington Post, which is owned by an executive who is also the CEO of Amazon.
How does this compare to, say, other efforts to impeach or near impeachment, like Nixon or Clinton?
What Nixon was demonstrating was a widespread disregard for the rule of law. And when you put together the entire course of conduct, it's overwhelmingly clear that it's a president who has gone beyond all limits.
Ron Fine is co-author of a new book, The Constitution Demands It, The Case for the Impeachment of Donald Trump. This is Don Rush for Delmarva Public Radio.